All right, Brian, good news. The turf held up for the Red Hot Chili Peppers at Soldier Field on Friday night.
Oh, boy.
So it's all good. Yeah. You were there, right? Front row?
Were there any socks involved in there?
No socks. I was going to ask if you wore your sock to the show.
No. No. No, my athletic socks. No. I'm Irish.
No. Okay. Right. I get that. The reviews on that show, Red Hot Chili Peppers, love the band. I've seen them. Reviews on the show were great. They had a packed house. And again, the turf. I can't speak to the condition after the show, but it certainly was good for the show. So,
are they in their 40s or are they touching 50?
No. They've got some years on me, so they're in their early 60s, believe it or not.
Wow.
Yes, I know. The Red Hot Chili Peppers has been around since the mid 80s, but yeah, they're in their late 50s, early 60s, but this is impressive. Now, back in the day, Brian, and I've talked about this before, but back in the 70s and the 80s, you would have these bands that were on top that would put out these great albums every year. And anybody who's ever asked me why that doesn't happen anymore, it's like, well, because cocaine is not as popular anymore. I mean, that fueled the recording industry. Yeah, everybody's hopped up on coke and you've got all this energy and you just
turn out hit after hit.
And believe me, these record companies were supplying this. I could tell you they were supplying it to the artists and on, golden platters because they knew that they would get more out of them. But the Chili Peppers, and they have been clean and sober for years. Their original guitarist rejoined them. They are going to put out two double albums this year. Two.
That's unbelievable. Which is,
that's unbelievable for this day and time. Two double albums in 1 year.
So the rock stars and bands got cocaine, and we get excited here at ESPN 1000 when someone puts chewing gum in the restroom.
Absolutely, okay. Yes. And the Axe spray. Don't forget about that Axe spray.
There's a lot more now. There's like mints. There's a... Yeah. Big champagne.
Yeah, all of that. That makes our day. The free bottles of water in the fridge, yes.
Yeah. But anyway, the attendant in the restroom, which was really kind of awkward, I mean, he hands you the towel while you're washing your hands.
And he's got the tip jar there.
And you're like, what do you tip? What do you tip? I mean, what do you tip for that? I don't, I can get the towel. God bless you. I would never want a job where you're, standing in a restroom for 8 hours, but, you don't see them anymore.
Hey, you got to make your living somehow.
Yeah.
I always threw them a dollar. Here's a towel. I'll trade you a towel for a dollar, but I need more than one towel, dude. I've got big hands.
Okay.
I need more than one towel.
If you take a stick of Juicy Fruit, that's $2.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, I stayed away from the gum because you know what? Drinking, chewing gum while you're drinking. And if I'm in a bar or a concert, I've got no time for gum. I got to get my next drink. Daniel's in Highland Park wants to jump on and talk about Yasmani Grandal here on ESPN 1000. Hey, Daniel.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. I'm just reminded of the 1959 World Series and Sherm Lawler, who was a Grandal-type catcher and maybe slower. And he was on base.
Slower,
I forgot which. I think slower. And he was on second base, and there was a hit into right, I think. And I'll never forget, it's burned into my brain. They're waving Lawler around. And he was out by about 110 feet from home plate. And
he was out before he got to third base.
Positively. And so just reminded, they're still doing it.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that they can make it from second to home.
Right. Well, Daniel, thank you for the call. As Brian said, there's aggressive and there's just bad decision. And Joe has borderline between aggressive and bad decisions. And none more than what happened last night. Thankfully, it did not cost us the game. But it did cost us, not directly. I mean, we're not going to blame Joe for Grandal's injury. But if he didn't send him, that wouldn't have happened. And certainly Grandal had this awkward, I'm going to run around the catcher, and his ankle folded in, and he screwed up his knee. And it doesn't look good. And again, he has been solid for us defensively. So hopefully Carlos Perez what I've read about him, he seems to be pretty solid. And, you know, he's a kid that's getting his chance in the bigs, and hopefully he can rise to the occasion. Sebi Zavala has really, really been good this year. But, you know, having Reese McGuire at this point would have helped. Obviously, that, you know, he's playing for Boston now. So we'll see how that all shapes up, because we'll carry two catchers now, as you said. And Crick was put on the 60-day disabled list.
Yeah, look, and I'm sure Joe McEwing feels terrible that right. Grandal's out. But, you know, that it is what it is. And as much as none of us were applauding and wishing we'd see more of Grandal moving forward, you don't want to see anyone get hurt.
No, you don't want to see him hurt.
Right.
And I got to bring up Elvis Andrus.
Oh,
that
man.
Guy. Yeah, you know what? And there is the veteran baseball player that has the smarts. He doesn't need a coach to tell him what to do. He got that done and got across with that. It was a relay to home. And I don't know, did it hit the catcher in the head and he was dazed?
Did it hit his mitt?
It hit him in the mass. He was a bit dazed, couldn't find the ball. And Andrus just sniffed that out. And boy, he got home real quick and scored that run. And again, that wasn't a winning run because we won 2-0. But it's good to see. Now, he's not going to tear it up at the plate, but he's solid defensively, and he's just a smart guy, and that was a hell of a pickup. As soon as I saw he was available, I thought there's just – we better not overlook this, and thankfully we did not.
And speaking of solid defensively, I mean, props to Nico Horner and what he did yesterday. I mean, he did the savvy spinorama out in right field.
Yeah, right.
I mean, he was everywhere. And, I mean, defensively, just putting highlight reel stuff together, three, four of them. And Nick Madrigal comes up with three hits. They're down to their final strike in the bottom of the ninth. And Madrigal is sitting there with an 0-2 count. And he makes Devin Williams, the now closer of the Milwaukee Brewers, since they
– You think they missed Josh? Do you think anybody misses Josh up there?
Well, look, I mean, Hader's been awful for the Padres. He's got.
Well, he has been, but he wasn't awful for the Brewers.
No, that's right. I mean, it, you know, because my guy Murph tweeted back at me that, you know, I said Milwaukee's missing Josh Hader. He said, you know, think he, well, 16-plus ERA with the Padres, that wasn't the same guy who the Brewers had, right? He was the best closer in baseball.
Right.
In the last two
he's
days.
He's got a Kimbrel. That's kind of like a Kimbrel move.
Right. But I mean, but your team's contending. I mean, when they traded him, when they traded Hader, the Brewers were three games ahead of the division, right?
Right.
I think they're 6-12 now since then.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, I'm saying that was a Kimbrel move. That was a Kimbrel move in that he was good for one team. They trade him away and he's turned into something
right.
Completely opposite, like they were sold a bill of goods.
But David Stearns, the president of the Brewers, you know, up in Milwaukee, they, you know, they're roasting him for that move at the trade deadline because
absolutely.
They were actually leading the division. Now they're playing for their playoff lives right now, right? If they don't make the postseason, and he defended it to Paul Sullivan in the Tribune, saying, "Well, you know, I'm looking big picture, and I, you know, we don't want to be in a boom or bust type thing where we're good for a few years and bad for five or six." And
it's like, you got to pay attention to what's ahead of you.
You can.
I mean, there's looking into the future, but there's looking into the future and screwing up what's directly ahead of you.
Yeah, and you can only win the season that you're playing currently, right?
That's what I understand.
Yeah, and so he said, if you start thinking like you can't do this, you'll never make a trade. But what he got in return so far isn't all that. And by the way, you know, Devin Williams hasn't been living up to, he was ready to close for the team. I mean,
right.
It's been a struggle, but you know, the fact of the matter is that Madrigal fought off, he had the 0-2 count. He fought off four more pitches and then he comes up with the tying single and they win in extra innings. And so they have a nice little up the middle infield right now with Nico and Nick. And is that going to be enough to tell, you know, that Jed Hoyer says we don't go after Correa or Dansby Swanson or, you know, name another veteran shortstop, or you just play this out. But it's
312-332. Yeah, 312-332-3776. I want to jump in and just invite people to call and say, have you seen enough to where it's like, okay, don't go and spend that big money. Put those assets somewhere else. We've got our middle infield. Because that's what we saw from Nicky on the south side. That's exactly what we saw from him. You thought he was down and out, and he came up. And I like Nico from the beginning when I saw him, and I'm not surprised he's turning into what he seems to be turning into. So how long do the Cubs have to look at this to say, okay, this is it, we're set, let's spend our money elsewhere? Or you like what you see, but you still have to go after the big name if you want to jump in. 312-332-3776. How long do you want to see this, Brian? I mean, it's a recent development. Is this, you know, let's wait it out to the end of the season and assess there, which will they'll naturally do. But are you liking what you're seeing? Are you kind of locked in and say, you know, this might be it?
Well, I mean, I'm really loving what I'm seeing. But again, if you can get Carlos Correa in his prime and it costs you nothing but money, then feel free to go out and get a player like that and then sort things out after that. That would be
well.
Nice.
And Nico can play different spots.
Well, sure.
You're not going to lose him.
No. Yeah. I mean, you can, you know, all of a sudden maybe split them up and you got second and third taken care of too. Right. But this is Jordan Bastian, MLB.com covers the Cubs. Going into yesterday's game, Horner's 13 outs above average per Statcast were second only to Atlanta's Dansby Swanson, 14. And among MLB shortstops, Horner was tied for second in defensive runs saved at 12 and second in defensive runs above average at 12.7. So he's just gone ahead and put together a really nice, consistent defensive year for the Chicago Cubs. And now Madrigal's bat is, since he came back from the hamstring surgery, he's just a different guy. And matter of fact, David Ross talked about him before yesterday's game, after Friday's game, about what he's seen since he came back from being injured.
I have talked to doctors, therapists. You know, they said it would take a good amount of time to, you know, feel completely 100%. And then there's a chance I may never feel 100%, you know. But at the last couple of weeks, I feel like I've kind of, you know, taken the next step as far as starting to feel normal again. It's one of those things that all year long, you know, it's a little bit tight here and there. But especially this last week, I feel like I've been able to run and not worry about it. And, you know, it's definitely encouraging just to feel a little bit better.
Yeah, I think Nick swing the bat phenomenal. I think he's just, you know, we're at 150 at-bats, right? Like, it just sporadic early on. He was pressing new team. I've found a lot of times guys that come over to new team, a little bit of experience, you just press really hard trying to impress everybody. He wasn't able to get off to a great start. Had a little bit of reset mentally with some downtime. Has come back really good. I think having some success in his rehab assignment was big for him, and he hadn't skipped a beat since he's come back.
Well, you know, Brian, the one thing about Nicky, he's been a bit injury prone, which, you know, in his you know, that's something we saw on the south side, and thankfully he's coming back from this, and hopefully this doesn't continue on the south side. We look at a guy like Eloy. I mean, at what point do you say, okay, this person's so injury prone? Well, not comparing the two. Nicky has not been in the same situation as Eloy, but you can see when he's feeling good, he's a real asset. They call him Nicky Two Strikes for a reason.
Yeah, and it is scary when you hear him say, well, he might not ever feel 100%, you know, that he hopes.
Right.
But, you know, that's a possibility. But, I mean, so far so good, because he's been making great, great contact at the plate. And at Nicky Two Strikes, he doesn't strike out. And swinging strike percent, he's third among all MLB hitters this month in August. So he knows how to fight off those pitches, and like he did yesterday, even in the hole, he found a pitch to deliver a tying run, and they end up winning that game in extra innings.
Yeah. I was trying to talk you out of trying to get rid of him, and I'm glad that you were not able to pull that deal. I'm not sure Jack gives you that authority anyhow.
Well, no, it's only on the fifth Tuesday of every month.
Right.
He designates me the guy. I'm like Roquan's guy. I get to call around to other teams and
fantasy
trades. Yeah,
that's a good use of your time. 312-332-3776. We're going to wrap it up in the next segment and go to pregame with Connor McKnight for that 11:05 first pitch, although I'm not sure we're going to get that game in Cleveland underway on time. but we got to fit it in somewhere. We're running out of days, and certainly we want to see Dylan Cease pitch because he is our ace for the South Side. So we'll be right back to take your calls and wrap up the Twitter poll here on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports is the home of Xander and Hanley. More's on the way on ESPN Chicago.
The Guardians, and we have the starting lineup. Obviously, Connor's going to dig into it more, but it's interesting. Luis Robert is going to lead off. He's in center field. Today, they're giving A.J. Pollock the day off. You know, and I think that's appropriate. He's been playing every game, leading off, having some success. Andrew Vaughn in left field, batting second. D.H. Aloy, batting third. Jose, batting cleanup at first. Got Yoan at third base. Gavin Sheets in right field today. Elvis Andrus at short. Romy Gonzalez giving Harrison a day off, batting eighth. And Sebi Zavala catching because, well, we're out of catchers almost, although we have somebody coming out from AAA, and he'll be there today. Perez is going to be on the team. So we've got a Bears Twitter poll, Brian, about Roquan Smith, because today we got news, as we talked about at the beginning of the show, that Roquan is, he talked to the media yesterday and basically said, I'm not happy, I'm not thrilled, I'm not pleased, I'm displeased, as a matter of fact, and it wasn't a pleasure, but I'm going to play. I got to bury my head down, chest out, whatever you said, chin out, chest out, and let's get her going. So the Twitter poll, which is most likely result for Roquan Smith at the end of the year? Signs Bears extension, Bears trade him, becomes a free agent, or the Bears use the franchise tag? Jake Cantu producing today. We're going to go to you, Jake. I know we have a comment too, but what did that poll look like?
I think he's asking for the Bears use a franchise tag on him, and the fans agreed, 43.4%. And then signed Bears extension was at 26%. Obviously, they don't think Bears are going to trade him at 12%.
And they're not, and to become free agent, there's no way they're going to let him go without any kind of compensation. So
yeah, and he does not want to be franchise tagged. He wants
no, he doesn't,
years.
But he's begging for it. Isn't he?
Well, no, he said that the $20 million is a nice number, and that's about what he was asking for per year for a 5-year deal of $100 million. But right. any football player, going back to our caller Mike, they want security, they want guaranteed, they want more, and they want $20 million. But that sounds great to all of us who will never see that in our lifetime. But he wants to be among the highest paid for a long time, and. But the likelihood is that they will. I mean, if he has a Roquan Smith season, or is now a starter on the All-Pro team instead of a backup.
Right, right. And in this defense, which, by the way, we talked about, you know, the Eberflus and Poles want him to prove himself within the confines of what they're bringing, not what he's done in the past.
But in that defense should allow him to even be better and put up even better numbers. So then is it one season enough for Ryan Poles and said, okay, I told you to prove it to me. You proved it to me. And then they sit down and come to terms on a long-term extension. But yeah, they're not letting him walk for nothing. Depending if he's having a great season and some team offers you something that you think is of equal or better value than Roquan gives you right now in a rebuild, then, you know, maybe that is a possibility, but the extension would have to be he has better numbers and a better season than he's had in the past, which have been very good and great. And then you have to kind of force the Bears' hand to get back to the table and actually negotiate something.
Right. And right now, he doesn't really have any leverage at all, which, again, goes back to the whole you didn't hire a professional to represent you, and you might have known that there was very little leverage. Now, I get he wants to get paid, but I don't know. Am I missing something, Brian? Is there some leverage here that he has that I'm overlooking? But it doesn't seem like he has much, if any.
No. I mean, they have control this year, and they have 2 years of it in which they could use the franchise tag, which will put him going into free agency at 28 instead of 25. And again, the $20 million next year is a franchise tag number, give or take, and maybe it goes up to 23 in year two of a franchise tag. Good money, but still well short of the $100 million he was hoping to see on the table right now.
Yeah, it'll be interesting how it shakes out. Obviously, we want him to have a good season, and if he does, I would hope the Bears would be willing to see that and reward him as such, playing for this team and this defense, of which you said that he has a good chance to have some solid success, even more so than he's had before.
Yeah, this defense should allow him a lot of freelancing, a lot of opportunities to get to the quarterback and make plays and turnovers and all the things that you get paid for. So it's at the bottom line, it's great that he has decided for whatever reason to get back on the practice field 3 weeks before the season's going to start. And it's distasteful, and that was his word they used as this whole experience has been for him. He now seems to at least have the positive attitude that he's going to go out there and do what he's always done. He said, bust his ass, be there for his teammates, and prove everyone, go 100 miles an hour, and don't let up, and let everyone know why he deserves the money he was asking for.
Hey, Brian, by the way, I'm not sure if you've ever had negotiations. Certainly I've had in certain ways, and they're all distasteful. I'm not sure if what book Roquan was reading that, he was hoping for tasteful negotiations, but they're not. That's where they tell you what you haven't done. Because the more they tell you what you've done, the more money they have to follow up with. So no negotiations are tasteful.
Yeah, they're not throwing rose petals at you and popping champagne as you sit
unless you're Tom Brady.
That's a different deal. Yeah.
That is a way different deal. Different deal. All right, so we're going to wrap things up. We're going to go to Connor McKnight. He's got the pregame for the baseball game that is scheduled to get off at 11:05 here in the Midwest with the first pitch. Dylan Cease on the mound for the White Sox. Savali on the mound for the Guardians. We're 2.5 back. We're 3 games over 500, Brian, at this point. Let's hope a coaching decision, a bad decision, doesn't happen today. Let's hope everybody is on the same page. We have got Dylan Cease on the mound. We certainly have to score runs to win the game. Dylan's going to do his job. So go Sox. It's been a pleasure to talk sports with you again, Brian. Thank you, Jake Cantu, for producing today. And that's it for us. We'll see you next weekend here on ESPN 1000.